Welcome to Grace Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thank you for joining us on Sunday evening, June the 16th, 2013.
Well, I thought I would start tonight by reviewing a song that we learned maybe for some of you and some just to refresh. I will follow. Why don't you stand with me as we begin tonight? All your ways are good.
All your ways are sure, and I will trust in you alone. Higher than my sight, high above my life, I will trust in you alone, in you alone. And where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. Where you move, I'll move. I will follow.
I will follow you, who you love, I love, how you
ask Dan Borm if he would come and share with us tonight.
You know, there's never been a man that walked the face of this earth, healing people from their sicknesses, giving sight back to the blind, and even raising the dead, and his name was Jesus. There's never been a man that one day was nailed to a cross. There he died for your sins and mine. But little did they know he was going to arise again in 3 days. And boy, what a joyous time that is. And just so that you and I could have eternal life through this whole event that took place back then. I want you to listen. Now, this song here is a little faster song, but boy, I tell you, I just love the words in this song. Listen to Never Been. We have a God like no other, reigning high upon his throne. He is the Lord, he is our Father in sovereign power. He rules alone. Then he came and dwelt among us, open wide his loving hands. He took the nails to be my Savior, the only one that's ever been. Oh, there's never been a more precious hand that was pierced on a rugged cross. Oh, there's never been a more blessed plan, salvation for the lost. Oh, there's never been a more perfect man who died for one and all. Never one crucified to live again. Hallelujah, he's the God who's gone where others have never been. He changes lives like no other, gives us peace forevermore, forgives the sin of the sinner through his blood. He makes us pure, then he carries us to glory. When we close our eyes in death, oh, what a love, oh, what a story, the greater one that's ever been. Oh, there's never been a more precious hand that was pierced on a rugged cross. Oh, there's never been a more blessed plan, salvation for the lost. Oh, there's never been a more perfect man who died for one and all. Never one crucified to live again. Oh, hallelujah, he's the God who's gone where others have never been. Oh, there's never been a more precious hand that was pierced on a rugged cross. Oh, there's never been a more blessed plan, salvation for the lost. Oh, there's never been a more perfect man who died for one and all. Never one crucified to live again. Hallelujah, he's the God who's gone where others have never been. Oh, never one crucified to live again. Hallelujah, he's the God who's gone where others have never been. Has never been.
I'd ask you what you're going to do for an encore, but I'm afraid you'd have an answer for that. And so I've been to the all-night sings long enough to know.
I got about 86 songs.
Now Paul didn't tell us that this morning. He talked about you reading the Bible, but I'm sure you sang in the car. And did you expose him to that genre of music, shall we say?
I don't know.
All right. Well, I can remember when I was at Moody, they had a place not so very far from the Institute called the Medina Temple. And they would have all-night sings there. And they'd start around 6 or 7 at night, and they'd go on towards midnight, something on that order. Students weren't particularly allowed to stay out that late, so you didn't do it. And you'd go over there, and you'd get your fill of the foot-tapping, hand-clapping kind of music and everything. And it's just, you know, that's the amazing thing. When we get to glory, a lot of our attitudes are going to get revised, because when we get to glory, we're going to find that that there were all kinds of saints all through the ages. And I can remember years and years ago, Harry tried to introduce me to Gregorian chant. And and as we were driving down the road, and I just have to tell you that, you know, that's going to take a special work of sanctification to get me into that. But, you know, there's believers that God used all through the ages and those things. And Southern Gospel's been greatly used of the Lord, and, you know, all of the rest of these things. So it's kind of exciting. And so, Fred, I'm going to leave it to you and leave that with you, and we'll go from there. We're going to ask the Lord to bless the offering, and so we'll ask the men to come at this time. We thank the Lord for the opportunity we have to give and the way he meets our needs. So, Father, thank you for all that you've been doing and the way you bless us and love us and care for us. And thank you, Father, for Dan and for the men in this church, Father, who love you and care for you, Father. We pray that you'll use us as a ministry, Father, not with just our families, but with other families in this city. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for that medley tonight. I know you're wondering now, who are these folks? But Pastor introduced Beth this morning. Her and her daughter Hannah were playing in the orchestra. They're in town visiting Trish for a few days. And Beth used to be here in the school and taught for, how many years did you teach here? 5 years, okay. And went to Temple and then taught here at the school. And just to remind you, we prayed for Beth and her husband, and her last name is Vincent. That may ring a bell with you, but we prayed for her husband for a number of months. He was sick, and he passed away a few months ago. So we continue to pray for Beth and her family and in that situation. Those are not easy times, but to let you know that we have been praying, and we will continue to pray, Beth. Well, just a few more songs before Pastor comes and speaks tonight, but I guess I was introduced to this chorus probably 15 years ago, but I love the words, love the lyrics of this song, and I think you would agree with me. We sing it quite often, but and I guess that's why, because I love it so much. Purify my heart, sing it with me.
Purify my heart, touch me.
Praise you, Lord, and I will.
right. Thank you, Fred. Well, I've got a couple of things I want to do tonight, but before I get started very quick, I thought I saw, yes, I'm looking for Diane, and did Danae make it? Danae made it. Come, Danae. I thought that what she's going to do, you're not going to have a chance to really hear from her about any of these things, and so I thought it might be nice for the church to hear a little bit about what you're doing, and so tell them what you have done, and then tell them what you're going to do, and we're not, you can even say something about the Dominican if you like.
Oh, okay. I have an opportunity to go to ICSB, where the Wingets are at and the Dicks are at, and over in Hungary, and they need a school counselor and an art teacher right now, so I just spent the last week in Charlotte, North Carolina, with United World Mission, and went through the training and everything, and I've been appointed to be a missionary in Hungary. So the plan is to be there by August, so that's coming up really soon, and got a lot of support to raise, but I'm really excited about the opportunity, and there's just, you know, a good need at the school. There's a lot of missionaries doing a lot of great things over there already, and it's awesome to be able to impact the lives of the kids, of the parents, and so that they can stay out there and be effective. And I'm just really excited about that opportunity. So, but I mean, missions. I'm also excited about the missions trip for the Dominican and go serve and see where my sister's been serving and everything. But yeah, we're excited. If you guys could keep praying, though, we're still. Me and my brother are kind of low on support, and I don't know if Alex and Scott are, do they have their support all the way in? Do you know? He doesn't, kind of, mostly, but you keep praying about that as well, so, yeah.
The last 4 years, tell them what you've done, because people have slept since then, and they...
Okay, yeah, you're right, I'm missing some parts. I just graduated from Cedarville University in December, with my major was psychology, and then I minored in Bible and studio art, so, when Cheryl told me that the school needed a school counselor and an art teacher, I was like, well, that's kind of right up my alley both ways. And it's just really neat to be able to have an opportunity to use the skills and the things that the Lord's been teaching me and preparing me and training me in to help further his kingdom. So, yeah.
Fantastic. I didn't see your sister. Did your sister?
She didn't either.
She didn't make it. Okay, well, listen, let's pray for Danae. Father, as she's raising this support, Father, we know that you will do some special, special things for her and give her some opportunities that she's not going to begin to know how to handle apart from you, Father. And so we look to you, Father, to give her the direction, the strength, the security, the endurance for the things she's going to face. And Father, for all of them as they go back to the Dominican Republic, Father, we know there are needs there. And so we pray that folks will be sensitive and open to those needs and we'll write checks, Father, to help these folks with their support. Thank you again for all that you're doing in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay. I want to do something, I want to tackle something it's just a hard topic. And so you'll just have to bear with me because someone told me today that my stories, I repeat myself. And that's just, that's just the nature of the game as you get older. There were all kinds of events that have occurred all through the years that have kind of startled me and marked me from the standpoint of ministry and marked my life and marked the lives of folks here in this ministry. And I want to talk about spiritual failure, because this is a subject that we have to really kind of get a hold of, and we have to really begin to see, because it's all around us and it's a difficult situation. We find ourselves trying to grasp how we should respond and how should we deal with these things. I think that this thing, a couple weeks ago, I was talking about how when I graduated from school, from Moody, I had planned to come back, and it was all set for me to go back to work with Indianapolis Youth for Christ while I was going through Butler. And I guess it was in June, the rally director, I'd talked to Bryce Finning and asked him about, you know, what was happening and how it was all going. We just had kind of a general understanding and everything. And he said, well, the position that, he said, we don't have the position anymore. He said, what's basically happened is we had the chance to hire Danny, and Danny was a preacher boy for Youth for Christ. They had these national contests in Winona Lake, and he won these contests. So, I mean, as a preacher boy, I mean, he was just really pick of the litter. You know, I didn't win anything, and so didn't even get to go to Winona Lake. So, you know, I understood them wanting to do that and everything. Danny was very gifted. He was the fair-haired boy from the rally and from our YFC rally. We used to have YFC rallies every other week. We met at the Civil War, or not the Civil War, the World War Auditorium that they had there on the Circle, not very far from the Circle in Indianapolis. And so Danny was a natural. There's no reason for him not to do it. And so that's what that's where they were going. And I said, well, you know, the Lord's got stuff for me to do, and you know, I'm ready to follow Him. I said, I don't know what He's got for me to do, but I knew my home church was struggling, and so they had talked to me about being involved in children's ministry and doing this and that. And I said, yeah, I can do, you know, I can do these things, and I'll find a job because it's just, you know, it's just what you do, right? Well, it wasn't very long into that I got a call in late August from Bryce Finning, and he said, hey, he says, I hate that I'm calling you back and everything, because he says, I know you're making plans and everything, but things have changed here, and I was just gonna ask and see if potentially, if there'd be a possibility of you working with us. And I said, well, sure, I'd love to work with you. The Lord hasn't opened any doors. And I said, but what happened to Danny? And he says, well, that's kind of a difficult story. And I found out from some of the other guys that were there on staff, they said Danny had embezzled about $1,000, you know, of money. The guy, they went out to one of their really big car dealerships. The guy was a believer. Danny got him to write the check to him personally. He was going to carry it into the office, and he and his wife left right then and there and took that $1,000, and that was it. And I never heard any more about him, didn't know anything more about him, but I was happy to work there in Indianapolis at Youth for Christ for all that year. Now, that's the first time I ever faced spiritual failure like that. And, you know, as I saw that was not a pretty picture. That was a very disappointing kind of thing. Through the years, we've had to face spiritual failure on a number of occasions. And all. I don't know whatever happened to Danny. I would pray that he's turned it around, that he repented. Would hope that he did, but I don't know. Don't know anything about it. But I know that we've had to work in matters of church discipline here through the years. We've had to do it in a variety of different situations. And as you look at those things and you look at those situations, people made some horrendous, horrendous decisions. And I'll tell you where the thing really falls apart for all of us is our kids are the ones that to some degree pay the price when people make a terrible, terrible spiritual decision, because they're counting on leadership to do right. And when leadership doesn't do right and everything, it becomes very disillusioning to them. And sometimes they recover, and sometimes it takes them a long time to recover, and sometimes it doesn't seem like they ever recover, you know, from some of those things. And I when I'm thinking about spiritual failure, I'm thinking, how in the world do we deal with those kinds of things? What is the truth that we have to have? Well, I think there's two or three things that we see, and I'm going to be working through about three different paragraphs in the book of James, chapter 2. And in this segment here in chapter 2, there's some disillusioning kinds of things that we see that we have to really begin, and there's principles that we have to kind of get a hold of along the way. And beginning in James chapter 2, it tells us, verse 14, it says, so what does it profit, my brothers, if someone says he has faith and he doesn't have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you don't give them the things that they are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. And there's a sense that that faith, really, in this kind of context, it's more than just simply a profession of faith. It's more than just a profession of faith. Now, I was introduced, when we moved south back in 1973, I was introduced to a phrase that I really hadn't heard much back in central Indiana and didn't hear it up north at Moody. They talked about, in the south, they talk about professions of faith. Professions of faith. We hear that statement all the time, don't we? Professions of faith. And somehow, there is a concept that kind of floats out there that that if I say something, then that just simply makes it so, and we don't really take the next step to look at the content of that faith and the content of what's transpiring and the content of what is going on. Now, this thing really kind of catches, and as a boy growing up and going to a public high school and, you know, I didn't have much of a youth group. And so when I would, and of course, you know, you probably, you know, there wasn't a lot of people for fellowship and things like that. And so I, a lot of my friends went to various churches in that area. And by the way, I got to see all of these people at the 50th, you know, and, you know, people are really old. And it's just really depressing to me. I remember my class as a lot of folks that would do a lot of dancing and a lot of drinking. And what has happened is they're no longer dancing, but there's a good many of them that are still drinking and everything. And that's an amen from the Lord. As you look at that kind of situation, you begin to see, you begin to find a concept that we all know all about. And it's the whole idea that talk is cheap. People can say things. People can make statements. They can make professions of faith. But where in the world does it happen that there's some significance to that? There's some validity to it, that it really makes a difference along the way. And that's really what I think we have to look at and we have to think about, because what the scripture is saying is that somebody can have that kind of a profession of faith, but if there isn't anything to back it up in any sense of the term, it says if in a simple matter like the physical needs, if they simply walk away from that, they said, what in the world does it profit? Because faith by its thus also, faith by itself, if it doesn't have works, it's dead. Now, there's a lot of theological truth that we read in the New Testament. We talk about justification by faith alone, apart from works, and we know that works don't save us. I don't do anything. My salvation is strictly on the basis of the blood of Jesus Christ, and it's strictly on the basis of the Lord saved me. You know, period. That's the basis. But as Baptist and as evangelicals, I think we have swung so far to making that statement that we have completely ignored, and we have essentially, we've looked past the whole concept of what are we going to do and what kinds of works are important and necessary for a believer really to perform. Now, you know, it's just like looking at that passage this morning we looked at in Luke. I think it's a fascinating passage, because you're talking about this whole business of what was going on in John the Baptist's life. And the passage begins and it says, you know, he's got this testimony, and then it says he's going to stay away from wine, which would have been in that society, that kind of dilution of wine probably wouldn't have been much of an issue whatsoever, but he's certainly going to stay away from intoxicating drink. And that was an issue historically in the Old Testament and everything. People just simply stayed away from that sort of thing. It didn't have any part. And then it said he was filled with the Spirit. Now, we live in a society that doesn't make many demands on people's life. And we think that because we claim, hey, I am filled with the Spirit, then that really is, that everything is fine and there's not any problem. I want you to understand that faith and a responsible behavior and lifestyle, those things go hand in hand. Those are things that we've got to have. And somewhere down the line, I have to teach my kids and I have to teach my grandchildren, I have to teach them the fact that it's not enough just for somebody to say, oh yes, I'm a believer, I know the Lord, I want to know what it is, how they're walking with the Lord in terms of making decisions. I'm telling you, if we don't do that, there's some disillusioning kinds of things that are going. Now, the safest place we think have is in a church like this, where we emphasize and we preach the Bible and all of those things. We think this is the safest place, and it is and should be a safe place. But I want you to understand, this is not the end in and of itself in any way, shape, or form. All of us have got to have a walk with God. We've got to have a testimony. We've got to have a time where we get answers from God and we see what God wants us to do in our life on a day-to-day basis. And we can't have if those things are clear, we cannot have a cavalier attitude towards what's going on in the world. I'm telling you, the world's going to hell in a handbag. That's where the world's headed today. It's headed in a very devious and a terrible direction. And as believers, we have to turn against that. I love Dr. Brown's illustration. He said that passage in Matthew 7 where it talks about straight is the gate and narrow is the way. He said that narrow way, he said that is going against the flow. And if you stand for God, you will go against the flow because the whole world is coming at you and saying, hey, come with us. That's the broad way that's going to destruction. But the narrow way is that little line down the middle of the road where you're walking and you're obeying God and you're saying no to these things that we're seeing all around us. Now, I haven't got answers. I'm disillusioned and disappointed. And also, you know, I've just got to tell you, I wish I could tell you that I always, my attitudes are just right. I never have bad thoughts. I never have anything that, I don't have temptations when I get on the computer. I'm telling you, if you stay on ESPN and Cubs.com, you don't have as many problems as what a lot of people have. But, you know, even on those sites, there's stuff that comes up. I was on eBay the other day and some crazy thing came up. And for a split second, you say to yourself, I wonder. And it's in that split second that you have to make a decision to turn your back on the trash and filth of the world. And I'm telling you, we've got all kinds of protections on the computer system. We have the guys who've done a fabulous job in putting that together. And by the way, you can actually get on the computer and bring your iPad. But of course, as some of the people in my Sunday school class were saying, that's not an opportunity to check your email and all the rest of the things that are going on at this time. But I look at the passage and I'm seeing a core of belief. Then will you notice with me in the next segment, a religious profession's not enough. And someone says, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works and I will show you my faith by my works. And then look at this. He says, you believe there is one God. You're theologically correct. He says, you're doing well, but even the demons from the pit of hell believe that and tremble. But if you want to know, oh foolish man, faith without works is dead. You know, there's a lot of religious experiences that people have, and interesting and encouraging kinds of things. But I think God wants us to have that walk with Him. And finally, this text goes in and says in this last paragraph, gives us two illustrations, Abraham and Rahab. It says, was not Abraham our father declared righteous, justified by works, when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect or brought to completion? The scripture was fulfilled that, and this is the Genesis 15 section, Abraham believed God and it was reckoned or accounted to him for righteousness and he was called the friend of God. And so you see that a man is justified, is declared righteous by works, but not by faith alone. Because there was a behavior, there was a resultant behavior that followed a person's life. There was a behavior. I love what Dr. Zodiati said when he wrote his commentary on the book of James. He talks about a faith that behaves. A faith that behaves. Boy, I'll tell you what, that's what I have to have. I need a behaving kind of faith. And then he adds this segment. Abraham, you know, great relationship with God. Rahab, hardly anything. And he says, and Rahab, when she was also justified by works, when she received the messengers, sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. When I'm dealing with this whole question of spiritual failure, what the world am I supposed to be saying? Well, I think one of the things I need to be saying, and I need to be saying it to you, and I need to be saying it to my kids, and we need to be saying it to each other, that that as we're following the Lord and as we're moving forward before the Lord, our lives have got to be, there's got to be an openness spiritually along the way. There's another side of this, and that is there's got to be a recognition that that human beings are going to fail, that people are going to make poor choices. But the poor choices I make do not indict the truth that I am speaking. Ultimately, this works, but it works only because of a relationship with the Lord, and that's how it has to happen. Now, how does all that work together? Well, I'll tell you how it works together. Years ago, I read a book by Steve Farrar, Finishing Strong. And Farrar mentioned four specific things. Remember what he said? He said, stay in. Stay in what? In the Word. In other words, I have got to be in God's Word on a regular basis. I've got to be seeing what the Scripture is saying. Stay in, stay close. Okay? That's accountability. There needs to be some people in my life that can ask me hard questions, that can say, "Preacher, have you been looking at stuff?" We had these accountability questions we used at church years ago and all. And you can have questions like that. Those are neat little lists. But the truth of the matter is somebody needs to say to me, "Okay, you know, what's going on? Are you making good choices? Are you seeing stuff you shouldn't see? Is there things going on? You know, what's happening in your life? Stay in, stay close, stay what? Away. Away from influences that have, that can tear your life apart spiritually. You know, I can tell you this. I have read and reread the book of Proverbs. And one of the things as I read Proverbs is I'm constantly amazed at the number of times the Scripture says in talking about being involved with the strange woman or the harlot or whatever you want to call her in the book of Proverbs, it says to this person, that this young man that wants to follow wisdom, it says, don't even go down her street. Don't go listen to her. Don't be around her. Don't be in any kind of a context that way. What are they saying? Well, what they're saying is that if I put myself in the wrong place, in the wrong location, I set myself up for spiritual failure. That's what I'm doing. I'm setting myself up for spiritual failure. Stay in, stay close, stay away, stay alert. Howard Hendricks, who just went to be with the Lord in the last several months, said, "None of us are spiritually bulletproof. None of us are spiritually bulletproof. We're all going to face temptation, but it's what are we going to do with that temptation when it comes?" Now, I'll tell you, we've had some men that have made some terrible choices and have disappointed us and had some incredible failures, but many of these people have turned their lives around spiritually and are walking with God, and they have learned the lesson. It'd been great if they'd learned the lesson long ago, before any of these events took place. That would have been wonderful, and that's something we have to keep encouraging each other. But the truth of the matter is I'm glad that there's a way of grace. I'm glad that there's a way of forgiveness. I'm glad there's a way that God can rework lives spiritually. We are at Grace Baptist Church, right? We can forgive, and we can walk away from those sorts of things. But spiritual failure is something that is really rugged for us to deal with and to think about. God help us to have a sensitive heart about the decisions and choices we're making, that we just won't get out there and do some crazy old thing that just decimates our life. When I was at Moody, I can remember hear them talk about Harry Ironside, and he'd been gone from Moody about 15 years when I got there. So they still talked about Harry Ironside and his ministry at Moody Church. And on more than one time, and you know, here I am, I'm about 17, 18 years of age at this time, and they used to talk about Harry Ironside's prayer, and I always remember thinking, Harry Ironside's prayer, well, that must have been really neat. And his prayer was, Lord, help me not become a foolish old man. And I heard that at 17, 18 years of age, and I'm thinking, wow, what in the world was he thinking? Well, you know, in the days that have come since then, you have a chance to watch men make terrible, terrible, terrible spiritual decisions in their lives. And I find myself saying with Harry Ironside, Lord, help me not to become a foolish old man. It's a shame to think you serve God, you do all kinds of wonderful things, and then you come to the end and you do something stupid and you destroy your influence and testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ forever. I think the neat thing is we've had some, you know, through the years, God's brought a bunch of really neat men, retired ministers, into this church, and as you look at their lives, you say to yourself, these are guys that are finishing strong, and they're not foolish old men and all. What a blessing it is to have that kind of testimony in our midst. Well, listen, you know, just a little ranting and raving tonight, and Father's Day, and so as we think about the scriptures together, you know what Danae said? She's got a tall order to deal with because her sister was the super, the Lord brought her funds in, but you know, that was the Lord, and the Lord can bring yours in, Danae. So we're praying for you. And Elise, how many, what are your numbers at right now? She's supposed to go full time with Campus Crusade downtown in about 2 months. So where are you at now? 25%. So you still need one or two coins along the way, right? And we got mission trips, things that we look at and we're thinking about and all that. So so God help us to do right before Him. Well, Lord bless you. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for worshiping with us today. Grace Baptist Church exists to glorify God by knowing Him through His Word, loving Him through worship and obedience, and serving Him by caring for others. For more information about our ministries, please go to www.aboutgracebaptist.org. See you next time.